And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, the host, and with me is Phil Conlon. How you doing, Phil? Phil has got a program each Wednesday, Classical Underground, CIUT, at from 6 to 8. Or is it 9? 8, 6 to 8. They should give you 3 hours. It's classical music. Today we're going to talk to Peter Rosenthal about this upcoming event for Charles Roach, and they're naming a lane in Toronto for the great lawyer and advocate Charles Roach. And Charles Roach, by the way, was a supporter of CIUT and of the Taylor Report, and we're very proud of that. We used to have him on the show, and by the way, Charles brought a lot of great positive attention to Toronto because he was respected worldwide. He had friends on every continent who admired his legal skills, his political skills, and his conscience. And more than once I heard a lawyer say in my presence, thank God for Charles Roach. And so there's an event coming up. It's Today's Star has an article about Charles, and we'll be speaking to him shortly. Pardon me, speaking to Peter Rosenthal shortly. Peter Rosenthal was at the firm of Roach and Schwartz. And we also a little later are going to have Michaela Leivas. And she will be telling us about her arrest in on the West Bank by Israeli authorities. And it's a dramatic story, also been covered in the Toronto Star. So, but I think Peter Rosenthal is with us. Are you there, Peter?
I am, more or less.
More or less. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't exactly sure you were there. But now I was very pleased to see this story in the Toronto, Greater Toronto Area section of the Toronto Star. And it says, Toronto to honor legendary civil rights activist. But I've sure got that right. Tell us, Peter, when is this going to be? Where is it going to be?
It's going to be this Wednesday, 2 days from now, at 7 o'clock, at the location of where the laneway honoring Charlie's is located. And where that is you go to St. Clair Avenue, and then one block north of there would be where the laneway is, and it runs between the streets of Rushton Road and Arlington Avenue. It doesn't have a name yet. It's going to have the name unveiled on Wednesday, Charlie Roach Lane. But if people come to St. Clair Avenue and go either to Rushton Road or Arlington Avenue and then walk a little bit north and look down the laneway, they should see a crowd gathering.
And, you will be there. Other, I think it's Councillor Mihevich will be there.
Joe Mihevich is organizing the thing, and he will speak, and so will several other speakers, including me. Briefly, everybody will speak briefly. People don't have to be concerned about sitting through a lot of speeches. It can be brief speeches, but honoring Charlie. And the people who are speaking are Joe Mihevich, Sunset Roach, Lennox, who's his daughter, Charlie's daughter, Lennox Farrell, an old comrade of Charlie's, and Batsy and other endeavors. Denise Herrera Jackson, who's the CEO of the Festival Management Committee of Caravana now. And then Zenaina Akande, who people may remember as a member of the provincial legislature during Bob Rae's government and other things in the community. So there'll be just those talks and people are gathering to honor Charlie.
Peter, you would know that if it were Charles doing the event, of course, we would all have to sing.
Yeah, I hope it's a crowd that Charlie liked to be in front of. He liked to lead people in singing. He liked to lead people in chanting for justice at various situations and so on. So, you know, we can list a lot of Charlie's contributions and achievements, but for those of us who knew him, including you, certainly, Phil, and I hope some of your listeners, his personality was quite extraordinary. He was so up a person and so lively a person. There's a word of ebullient, which I don't use very often, but I think it should be attached to Charlie. And he was that way in fighting for justice, even under very difficult circumstances. Sometimes. And
He had a gift that, by the way, must have helped him, of course, as a practicing lawyer. He was unflappable.
Yeah, he was totally unflappable. He was totally cool no matter what was going on around him, no matter what pressure. He did a lot of legal cases that were considered too radical by the judges to even consider. Sometimes they could be nasty to him and dumping on him for it. But he just remained cool and fought for what he believed in. But one case like that I think of was when he started a case against the South African ambassador during the apartheid era, speaking against the University of Toronto. He argued that that was a violation of rights of people to be free from discrimination, since the ambassador then for South Africa was going around trying to convince people that apartheid was not so bad as they think it is, and we shouldn't divest from businesses that do business with apartheid and so on. And Charlie, in my view, correctly said, that man is an international criminal, according to the United Nations, and he shouldn't be allowed to speak publicly in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie was very courageous to bring a case like that. Any lawyer would say, well, there's no way that can possibly win. And, of course, Charlie knew that, too. But he was willing to do it and to have the judge dump on him in order to make the political point that apartheid really was a criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did help to do that to some extent, even though the judge didn't recognize it at all.
Yeah. By the way, there was a dramatic episode at that time involving Lennox Farrell, the mace on the floor. There was some action. It was a harm to no one, but he got charged.
Yeah, what happened was there was a debate scheduled at Hart House at the University of Toronto, and the ambassador was there for that. He was the honorary visitor on the question of whether or not the West should divest from apartheid holding companies. And Lennox gave an impassioned speech and then took this mace, which is a heavy, serious object, and threw it in the direction of the South African ambassador. The warden of Hart House, who was sitting next to him, deflected it. But Lennox was charged with assault, but he was acquitted. The ambassador didn't want to appear as a witness.
He had enough troubles.
It would have been fun for a lawyer to examine the ambassador as to which is a worse crime, the apartheid regime that he represented or Lennox throwing a mace.
Yes. Charles took cases. It's hard to believe that actually such a person existed. By the way, we're speaking to Peter Rosenthal, and he is such a lawyer. But it is actually, many lawyers say there's this word pro bono. But Charles's office was a place where if you were in a desperate situation, had no friends, you could walk in the door and have a quality lawyer address your problems and represent you.
Absolutely. Charlie hardly ever turned anybody away, even though a lot of the cases that he represented people on were cases that had little chance of success and where he got no pay whatsoever. He did a huge amount of pro bono work for poorer people. And also, of course, his fights for social justice were all pro bono in the courts and in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Also, I hope the speakers will mention that he was a serious Pan-Africanist, many ties in Africa. And with the black lawyers' organizations in the United States, they stood up, for example, at the time of the U.S. invasion of Grenada, when everybody basically just ignored Grenada or treated it as though it was a humanitarian operation. Charles and the Lawyers Guild? I forget perhaps you can help me with the name of the individual, but they took up the case of Grenadians charged by the British and Americans.
Yeah, I don't recall the name. Was it? I don't recall the name. But one thing I want to mention before I forget to do it or before the interview is over is we can't bring Charlie back, but we can see him on YouTube. And I really like to tell people to tune in on YouTube. Just put in Charles Roach in quotes into YouTube, and you'll get various things, including some speeches that he gave and some singing of various things, including his song that I really like about Free the Land of Bigotry, and so on, various things. They're all from Charlie's later years, and he wasn't as vigorous when he made them as he had been, but still, even a remnant of Charles Roach is very impressive. And including towards the, you'll find on YouTube easily, towards the end of his life, a few months before he died, he was interviewed by CBC about his fight to avoid swearing an oath to the Queen in getting citizenship, a fight that he didn't succeed in, but again had some important political overtones. Mm-hmm. But Charlie, it's really remarkable. You look at that interview and you see Charlie's weak looking, but he's still Charles Roach, very optimistic and sure of what he's doing and the wonderful human being that he was.
Yeah, well, and he was one who, when he was born in Trinidad, was he not?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was subject of the monarchy and recognized as such, but then this complicated process, when he comes to Canada, and because of the laws, the way they were, then he had to swear an oath. Here's somebody who was born a subject, and in Canada, then they say, but no, now you have to swear. I always thought that was something like double jeopardy.
Yeah, if that was, you mean for citizenship?
There was, yes.
But there was another issue, too, that Charlie was very lucky that, as you say, he was from Trinidad, and therefore his membership in the Law Society did not require him to swear allegiance to the Queen or to be a citizen at all. But then they started to change the law to say that lawyers in Ontario had to be citizens. And they notified Charlie that if he doesn't become a citizen by a certain time, he would not be able to continue to practice law. Mm-hmm. And just to show how principled Charlie was, he was figuring that's the end of it. This was not towards the end of his career. This was right in the highlight of his career.
I remember that.
But then, luckily, a lawyer in British Columbia named Andrews argued that it was unconstitutional to require that a lawyer be a citizen. And that case was won at the Supreme Court of Canada. So then the Law Society couldn't enforce making Charlie be a citizen. But that was really lucky for all of us, that otherwise Charlie's career in law would have been half what it was.
Yes, that's a great story. This is Peter Rosenthal. But I recall him telling me of various judges and lawyers who came to him and said, Charles, do what I did. Cross your fingers behind your back.
Absolutely, that's right.
They all said, just wink. And they want you to wink. And he said, no, I don't play that way.
Right. And he wouldn't do that even if it meant the loss of his career. And another thing that
Charles had, by this gift of his character, had a way of making everybody uncomfortable.
Right. But another thing that he gave up the possibility of because of his refusal to swear an oath to the Queen was becoming a judge. He was offered an appointment as a judge, and he said he's not going to take it because judges had to swear an oath to the Queen. So he was a remarkably principled person.
And he would have been a great judge.
Yeah. Although I'm glad he wasn't a judge, though. Because
that's because you're a lawyer.
He would have been a great judge, but he wouldn't then have been able to do the kind of advocacy that he did.
Yes.
On the streets as well as in the courts, and combining those two together in a magnificent way.
Yeah, no, he had, he really, given his political, social commitments, he probably would not have done it, would not have been able to practically do it. There have been a number of judges who have made some good history because of their qualities. We think of the Supreme Court justice in the U.S., but I have witnessed a couple of, I remember, black judges here in Toronto who really were striking in court. Matter of fact, you and I were in the same courtroom once when I saw it. But anyway, Charles is a great figure. I like the fact they call him a legend because legends don't die. He's going to grow his reputation. The more people look into him, he could be studied. He could certainly should be emulated. And there will be more titles, more statues, things to come. Peter, tell us again where this is, when it is, and again, who will speak. I don't want to wear you out, but I may as well.
Okay.
It's the least I can do.
So the ceremony unveiling Charlie Roach Lane will take place this Wednesday, July 18, 7 p.m., just north of St. Clair Avenue West and in between Arlington Avenue and Rushton Road. And it'd be really nice if a lot of people came out for us to share our feelings about Charlie and recommit ourselves to trying to live up to his ideals.
Yeah. Well, Peter Rosenthal, thank you very much, and we will be there.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and we'll be talking about this further. We're certainly going to report on it when we come back next week as well. I think we'll have a little music, and we'll be back with Michelle Levy.